Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Leslie Jules. Leslie is the author of three management books. One of them is the Handbook for Church Management. He's the visiting professor of MBA programs in Haiti and the U.S. He currently serves as a regional director with Hope International, and they work with men and women and families to break the cycles of physical and spiritual poverty through discipleship, biblically-based business training, saving services, and small loans. He currently lives in the United States after moving from Haiti, where he grew up, and he's got some great thoughts to share around leadership and his own personal story. Looking forward to today's conversation with Jules. Well, I guess for our audience, could you give us just a little bit of your background, a little bit of your career story?
Yeah, I'm married with a son, and I started my career as a junior economist when I completed my bachelor degree in economics. And one of my responsibilities, you know, was to work with an association of shoemakers. And my job was to help them market and sell their products. And, you know, I could really see joy on their faces, especially when, you know, when they were selling, you know, when they were hitting targets. And that's what triggered me, you know, to consider business development as something that I would want to do. And that actually prompted me to go and pursue an education, you know, in entrepreneurship, a graduate education in entrepreneurship and business management. And since then, I've been working in small and medium enterprise development, sponsored by the government, by local and international organization. And eventually, I started a management consulting firm. And later on, I created a bakery. The other thing is I enjoyed being a visiting professor in graduate programs, especially MBA programs in Haiti, in Belgium, and also the U.S. And for the past 8 years, I've been serving at Hope in different capacity as a country director and now as a regional director. And as you know, Hope is investing in the dreams of families in the world, underserved communities, as we proclaim and live the gospel.
Well, I know we're going to talk a little bit more about your work at Hope International, and so you spent most of your growing up all in Haiti,
I was born and raised in Haiti, and I went to school in Mauritius Island. I don't know if you know where that is. That's actually the Indian Ocean. You know, some schools in Europe and North America, they wanted to create a special MBA program in entrepreneurship. And because at that time, you have MBA in finance, MBA in marketing and human resource. And it looks like there was nothing on entrepreneurship. And they have decided that Mauritius would be the land where they would start the program. So it would be easier for them to fly professors, you know, coming from all over the world and teaching while enjoying the beauty of Mauritius. That's back in 2000. And I remember at that time, they used to call Mauritius a piece of paradise. So that's where I went to school. And then I was educated in Brussels, Belgium. So that was technically my academic journey so far.
Okay. Well, if you were able to spend back time and talk to a 22-year-old Leslie, what advice would you give him knowing what you know now?
Thank you, Mark. That's a good question. I think my advice would be to stay focused and try as best as possible to align education, career, and vocation. Because even I'm drawing for my career. Yes, I have worked with nonprofit organizations and with for-profit organizations, but the focus has always been economic development. the focus was always business development. And that specialization really helped me going deeper into what I'm doing, refining the tools that I'm using, whether it's for my businesses or for other people's businesses. I mean, aligning education, career, and vocation. I know it's a gift from God, but this is something that, you know, I would definitely advise, you know, most young people starting in their career, you know, to consider. Instead of, you know, spreading oneself too thin, I think it makes it, it's good to be aligned, you know, and to make sure that you have a clear vision and that you have a sense of a calling. And if you can match, you know, if you can combine, you know, your education, your vision in terms of career for yourself with your vocation and calling, that will pay dividends.
So talk a little bit about Opportunity International, just some of the important work that they're doing around the world, as well as in Haiti, and just some of the innovative things that they're doing.
Yeah, Hope International is working in 20 different countries across the globe. We have two different programs. There's a savings group program that we have where we would partner with the local church and we would start saving group. A saving group is a group of 15 to 25 people who agree to meet on a regular basis and they pray together, you know, they study the word of God and they save money. And that money that they save would be invested, you know, in business or in personal projects, you know, that they would have. And there's also a microfinance program that we have also in different countries. So these are the two programs, you know, that we have mostly when it comes to economic development.
So thinking back to, we have a number of new leaders that listen to this podcast. If you think back to the first time that you were asked to lead a team, what do you wish you would have known earlier about leadership?
You know, when it comes to leadership, I would say that one of the things that I really wish that I mean, something that I know now that I didn't know back then is that, you know, especially when you are recruiting leaders, you want to recruit today, but you should have the future in mind or the future in perspective. Because what I'm realizing is that often, you know, when we recruit based on actual competencies that people possess, which makes sense, because we want to have leaders that can get things done. But at the same time, we must realize that, you know, competencies can become obsolete over time. And now it's really faster than we think. So therefore, recruiting leaders that have, you know, leaders who believe in lifelong learning, leaders who are willing to learn new skills and adapt to an ever-changing context, I think this is something that will pay dividends and also keep you thriving. And the other thing that I believe that I would do if I was starting now, that would be putting more emphasis on qualities, on character over competencies, because people can develop competencies, you know, either on the job or during some kind of practical training. But when it comes to, you know, values, this is where really you need people that have values that can align, you know, with the organization. Because when you have that, you know, everybody wins. For the person, for the leader himself, he wins in a sense that, you know, there is no misalignment, you know, between his personal conviction and the organization or the cause that is actually supporting, and the fact that the organization wins as well, because you have like-minded people, you have people that share your values, and therefore the sky's the limit in terms of what can be achieved.
So you've had a number of different experiences, kind of cross-cultural. You know, I think sometimes people are put in positions where they haven't worked internationally. What are some things that you would say to a person that maybe has been put into a position where they're going to have to work with teams that are around the world, which is becoming more common? What are some lessons that you've learned regarding that?
You know, one of the things that I have learned is active listening. This is so important. I mean, in everything in life, you need to be proactive, you know, when it comes to listening, seeking to understand. You know, this is really important, especially when you are dealing with new cultures. And you want to make sure that you take time, you know, to learn about that new culture, understanding practices, understanding customs, and see how, you know, our relationship can be more productive. And I think it's really, listening is really key, especially, you know, for myself, who had the opportunity to work in different countries in Central America, Latin America, Europe, and Africa, and interacting with those different cultures. You know, for me, it was, you know, paying attention, being humble, being willing to learn, learning new things, and not necessarily considering that my way is the best way, but also considering that no culture is better than the other. So it's really having that humble attitude where, you know, you are willing to listen, you are willing to learn, and you are willing to adapt. That's the approach that I have used so far, and it has worked for me.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. So thinking about just the needs that are so many around the world, what are some things that you see that maybe people are not aware of that that are taking place where somebody that maybe isn't working in a position like you are that has kind of frontline view of what's going on? How can they get more involved as far as in helping others in parts of the world that need that help?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that at Hope we have been addressing is really restoring relationship. In terms of we have like four types of relationship that we believe are important in order for someone to thrive. The first relationship is relationship with God. People have that void, they have that emptiness, and they don't know God. More importantly, they don't know about the Judeo-Christian values and how these values are so critical, you know, for someone's development and either, the pursuit of freedom and free enterprise. I mean, these are good values that can definitely, help, you know, an individual, even a society. I'm thinking about Max Weber in his thesis regarding Protestant ethics, you know, and looking at different countries in Europe, how when these countries were exposed, you know, to Judeo-Christian values, how that has really shaped them in such a way that they were in a better position to thrive, you know, economically speaking. And the second relationship is relationship with self. I mean, because we live in a broken world and sometimes people have a negative image about themselves, I think it's important for that relationship to be restored, for people to understand that they are created in the image of God and they have absolute dignity and they can do things, you know, like, you know, they're coming from a creator and they can create things too. I mean, developing that can-do mindset instead of just, you know, waiting for someone to come and fix their problem, whether it's the government, whether it's a humanitarian organization, you know, having people, sitting back and waiting. This is an issue that needs to be addressed. And people need to understand that they have responsibility regarding what's happening, regarding outcomes of their lives. And in fact, you know, for someone who grew up in an environment that was very animistic, you know, by nature, you know, where people are more prone to, waiting to see how time will change things and not necessarily being proactive, not necessarily taking position, not necessarily leading. So I found out as I've been working with Hope, in helping people to have a better image about themselves. I mean, this is huge to see that people moving from a position where they thought that there was nothing that they could do, And now, now they can do things. You know, they believe that they have the capacity to take their destiny at hands. And I think this is great just to see that. The third relationship is relationship with other people. And, you know, we're living in a world where loneliness is a major issue, where people are depressed, where people are isolated. They're not taking advantage of relationship. And yet we were created for relationship. We were created for community. And, social capital is so important, you know, when it comes to someone having the capacity to tap into resources that they don't have. And that's why, as I've been working in the saving group program, seeing different people putting their resources together, this is where I've seen that they can achieve things that they could have never done, you know, if they were in isolation. The fourth relationship is relationship with the environment. So we live in a broken world. That is true. But it doesn't mean that we do not have any responsibilities toward that environment. So we are called to change things, you know, that can be changed. And we have that, we have that as a calling, you know, regardless of we are believers or not. We need to act as steward of the creation because we understand that, you know, the better the environment is, the better it is for us. So I've seen, you know, when people understand these four relationships, how they come into play and their responsibility in the process, you know, I've seen people, having a better understanding about, their responsibilities in that sense.
That's great. So I know that that every leader is a learner. And is there any books that you would recommend to other leaders that you think would be helpful?
Yeah, you know, I have two books that comes to mind. The first book is actually, these are old books, books that actually have shaped me. Number one is Discipling Nations, you know, from Darrell Miller. That book was important for me because that was the first time that I came to understand that worldview is important. Because your worldview really determines, you know, how we see the world around us and how do we interact with it. And it really determines what we believe that we can do, what we believe that we cannot do. It determines what we think is important, what we think is not important. So it was for me, you know, it was like an epiphany, you know, just to understand, you know, the importance of worldview. And how do we approach challenges? Especially we live in an environment where there are so many challenges, but how do we address them? And our response would be determined by our worldview. I think this is one book that has really influenced me in a sense that it helped me understand myself and my relationship with my environment. The second book is a leadership book from Max Dupree called Leadership Jazz. I think this is a book that has really influenced me in a sense that I really like the way that Max defines leadership, how he sees leadership as serving. And there is no better way to lead than to serve. And that's why I can understand that why Jesus is the greatest leader of all times, because he came to serve. And there is no leadership without having that servant attitude. So these two books really influenced me.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Leadership is Jazz. I read that a number of years ago. And some great thoughts in that book. Any favorite quotes that you like to refer to?
I'm going back to Max Dupree, and I had the opportunity of visiting his company in Michigan. That was some 15 or 20 years ago, and that's actually the one of the things that got me interested in his book. It's a very small book, but lots of wisdom. And the quote from Leadership Jazz is: "The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The last is to say thank you. In between, the leader is a servant." Personally, I love that. I love the fact that that's our job as leaders, to cast a vision And it's our job to motivate people. But at the end, we need to recognize that they did it. We need to recognize that our job was basically to serve, and that's what we are called to do. The second quote that comes to mind is from another book, you know, that I really like, from Jack Welch, a book called Winning. And I like one of the things that Jack said is change before you have to. I think this is something that really caught my attention. Like, change is inevitable, but you don't want to be surprised by change. You know, you want to be the one that provoke change. You want to be the one who's proactive, you know. So change before you have to, because at some point you're going to have to change. Even, you know, when in reality, most people are reluctant to change. You know, most people don't want change, but, you know, you better be the one to initiate it, you know, than to be the person enduring, you know, the change at that point. So, yeah, these are the two quotes that come to mind.
Yeah, I had a question going back to Max and his leadership at Herman Miller over the years. And it says, you said that you had toured that facility. Anything that you took away from, you know, he talks a lot about some of those the principles as far as servant leader within the organization. Anything that you saw that made an impression on you as far as?
Yeah, you know, when I visited the company, the one of the person giving me the tour, he was talking, saying that this is my company, at my company, that's what we do, that's how we do things, that's what, how we organize, that's how we relate to customers, that's how we relate to the board. I mean, as he was talking like that, I thought it was his company, but it turned out that it wasn't his.
Right.
Of course, it was Max. But the thing is, it was the sense of ownership that I saw there. I understand this is a profit-sharing company, of course. But that sense of ownership, you know, I was unfamiliar with that. And that was my takeaway, you know, when I visited, you know, Herman Miller, to see how employees are so attached to the company. And, you know, they see themselves as owners. You know, I think the sky's the limit, you know, when you have employees that have that sense of ownership.
Yeah, no, that's great. So outside of work, what do you like to do to recharge?
You know, as weird as it may sound, when I want to recharge, I walk. I like to take a walk. That's one of the things that, you know, really, you know, it helps me to unplug. But it also renews my energy because as I'm walking, I'm thinking about different things. And and at the same time, enjoying the environment. This is something that I like. Secondly, I like watching a good movie. I like classics. You know, I'm a fan of Lord of the Rings. And also, it's also a fan. I was talking with someone yesterday, and she told me that this is really surprising because most people who love Lord of the Rings, they don't like Star Wars. I said, I don't know. I love both. You know, I love to watch classic. I love one of the movies that I really enjoyed. The last, you know, I never stop watching. It's The Count of Monte Cristo. So I like these things. And also I enjoy reading philosophy books, theology books, and especially apologetics books. You know, this is a field that I'm quite interested in.
Okay, great. Any parting advice you would give to a new leader?
You know, in my perspective, more than ever, the world needs leaders, but not any kind of leaders. You know, leaders who are developing other leaders. We need inspired leaders. You know, leaders who are striving to leave a legacy, and leaders who are doing their utmost, you know, to hear these words: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because in my perspective, at the end, it's all that matters to hear these words, you know, coming from our Father.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, I sure appreciate your insights and everything that you're doing at Hope International and the important work that you're doing around the world. How would somebody learn more about your work and how they might be involved?
They can go to the Hope website, you know, www.hopeinternational.org, And we have a quite an interactive website, different materials they can learn about the countries, you know, where we serve and the leadership of the organization. And we have all our materials there, and they can be downloaded for free. And everything's there on our website.
You were recommended highly from Peter Greer, the CEO of Hope International, and I asked him for ideas for guests, and he spoke highly of you and appreciate all that you're doing, and wish you continued success in your work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.